we're holding Hoshana Rabbah by night. We had the first day of Sukkot Shabbat, and then we have another 6 days of Chol HaMoed. The last day of Chol HaMoed, which is the seventh day, if you count the first day of Sukkot, right? 6 days of Chol HaMoed, Sunday through Friday. And then Friday is really the seventh day, if you count day number one being Shabbat. Is the last day of Sukkot in many ways, because the eighth day, known as Shmini Atzeret, has its own rules. We don't have a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. The Torah says, "Basukot tishvu shivat yamim," sit in the sukkah 7 days. So this class is only for the land of Israel. I'm not going into the intricacies of those in Chutz Arts. You guys are here in Israel. For all our listeners in Chutz Arts, I'm very sorry we can't spend that time on it now. But in the land of Israel, we do as the Torah says. Basukot tishvu shivat yamim, should dwell in the sukkah for 7 days. The first day is a holiday. 6 days of Chol HaMoed. So tomorrow morning, tomorrow day, is the last day we will be in the sukkah. So Shana, and every holiday, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuot, we have a mitzvah to be happy. Shavuot, it says, Samachta lifnei Hashem, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem, should be rejoiced before Hashem, indicating that the main point of the happiness of Shavuot is connected to the temple. And Sukkot, it says, V'samachta bechagecha, you should rejoice in your festival, indicating that Sukkot in and of itself is a time of rejoicing. And we're accustomed to serving Hashem, going into shul and serving Hashem. Serving Hashem in focusing in our connection to Hashem. And the period of the holidays is a time when the Jews initially in the time of Ezra, the beginning of the Second Temple, they were mourning. They realized that they weren't fulfilling the Torah. Ezra gathered them and he read to them from the Torah, and they realized they'd messed up. They'd married non-Jewish women. Their businesses were open on Shabbos. Here they are in the land of Israel, and they're very far from the performance of the Torah. And Ezra tells them, go back home, eat your good food, rejoice, ki chedvat Hashem imauzchem. Your happiness with Hashem, that is your strength. God wants you to be happy today. Today is Rosh Hashanah, go back home and be happy. And the Gemara has a discussion, machlokes tanaim, what is our obligation when it comes to every Yom Tov? One understanding says you have two choices, because in one place it says it's a holiday for Hashem, in another place it says it's a holiday for you. So one opinion says you could either spend all day learning and davening and focus for Hashem, perform that pasuk, or spend all day enjoying yourself and perform that pasuk. You could do either one. And we rule that the halacha is with the other opinion, chetzio l'Hashem v'chetzio l'chem. Half for Hashem and half for you. You should spend half a day, you spend the morning, you daven, you should learn. Spend half serving Hashem with prayer and learning Torah, and half for yourself, half the day you're supposed to spend enjoying. And the Moadim, the holidays, have this special aspect of connection to Hashem through being happy, through eating good meat, drinking wine, being happy with the family. And the Medrash says that Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi asked Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he said to him, B'nei Eretz Yisrael, the Jews in the land of Israel, B'zchut mayim chayim, with what merit do they live? So he told him they're still around because of the merits of the Trumas and Maisras, the special gifts. God said every time you gather your grain, you gather your crops, take off a certain amount, give it to my Kohanim, give it to my Levim, show that you recognize I'm in your life. Take off a section and give it to Kohanim and Levim and to the poor. Bnei Bavel, what about those in Babylon? They don't have Trumas and Maisras. What's their merit? Why are they still around? So Rebbe told them, Bizchut HaTorah. In Babylon, they have such yeshivas, they learn Torah, that's why they're still around. Bnei Chutz La'aretz, what about the Jews that aren't Chutzaretz? They're not in Babylon, they don't have the great yeshivas. They're not in Israel, they don't have Trumas and Maisras. Why are they still around? He told them, Bizchut HaShabbatot VaMoadim. Their merit is the way they honor the Shabbos and the Yom Tov. The Yom Tov has a key role in the existence of the Jews in Chutz La'aretz. And we have to know that the Yom Tov is key to the family. It's time that people have to spend together. Unfortunately, it's something that Baalei Tshuva sometimes don't get. You could hear about Baalei Tshuva going to all kinds of places on the Yom Tov. And it's a mistake. Yom Tov is a time of Moed. Moed means gathering. It's a time when we're supposed to be together. Together with the community, together with our family, at home in the sukkah. People spend their time on Chol Moed running off to trips. It's okay. But the ideal is to be home learning with your kids. You have a sukkah, be in it. The minhag in Yerushalayim used to be that you wouldn't go anywhere without a lulav and esrog. They'd go from shul, everywhere they'd go the lulav and esrog. When it came time to sit down and learn, then they'd send the lulav and esrog back to their wives to put in water so they shouldn't dry up. You can't sit and learn with lulav and esrog, so that then you send it home. But everywhere else, they'd walk around with their lulav and esrog wherever they had to go. So you'll see a lot of old Yerushalmi Jews, they buy these exceptionally tall, beautiful lulavim, and you see them walking in the street in the middle of the day with their lulav and esrog, and you ask yourself, they're coming back from shul, what's going on now? No, they're walking around with their lulav and esrog because that's the ancient custom that's brought down. Yom Tov affords us the possibility of serving Hashem with the physical, with the food, with the enjoyment. And every Yom Tov has its theme of connection with Hashem. Pesach is the time when we remember God's miracles in Mitzrayim, taking us out of Mitzrayim, up until the sea, up until Kriyas Yamsuf. We know on the seventh day of Pesach, we cross the Yamsuf. So Pesach connects us with Egypt, leaving Egypt, up to the sea. Shavuos is 50 days later, receiving the Torah. And Sukkot is the holiday which connects us with the miracles that happened for the 40 years in the desert. Sukkot connects us with Ananei Kavod, the clouds that surrounded us. Sukkot connects us with that period where God was with us throughout our time in the desert. When we take the four species, we take seven representatives, as we mentioned before, one lulav, one esrog, two aravas, three hadasim, you end up with seven. The lulav corresponds to the heart, the lulav corresponds to the spine, to the back, the esrog to the heart, the hadasim have the shape of the eyes, and the aravas have the shape of the lips. You have the main part of the human, his way of serving Hashem. And we take these seven, corresponding to the 7 days, 7 days when one works and serves Hashem, and we take them. You should know the mitzvah of love is just to take it. You pick up an esrog, you perform the mitzvah. There's an extra special mitzvah to hold them together and to shake them. But let's say a person doesn't have everything else. He only has an esrog. You should take that esrog. You picked it up in your hand, you did the mitzvah. The ideal way of performing the mitzvah is to hold them together. That's why when we pick up the esrog, we make sure to pick it up upside down. Because the Torah says you should take them, and we derive that they should be taken the way they grow. So if you take it upside down, you didn't perform the mitzvah. People sometimes shake the lulav, they want to shake it down, they start holding it upside down. That's not the way you should shake a lulav. Lulav and everything should be held upright all the time. You want to shake it in this direction, shake it upright in this direction. You want to shake it upright when you're shaking down. Yeah?
And say upright, do you mean perfectly upright or more than horizontal?
I think it's supposed to be pretty upright. But see what the rabbis around you are doing. You don't see the rabbis around you pointing downward, right? And you see some people when they shake, they point downwards. They're not performing the mitzvah then. It says you have to hold it the way it is when it grows. So if you hold each one separately, you perform the mitzvah in the not ideal fashion. So if I took a lulav, someone saw me, everyone was taking Rabbi Avram Shapiro's esrog. He has a Yemenite esrog the size bigger than my head. And whoever wants to, I'm not exaggerating. Right, you could come every day after prayer, he lets other people shake it. So I saw he was in a rush. So I just took the esrog and I shook it. Someone thought I was like playing ball with it. I'm not playing ball with it. But I don't have to detain him to perform the ideal fashion. I performed my mitzvah. I made a blessing on my esrog. I have an esrog. So what? I'm saying his esrog might be a better tradition, so I'll shake his too. Okay, I don't have to detain him till I take the lulav and shake it all together.
Is the bigger the
better? I don't know. Maybe it's nicer. Maybe it's either mitzvah bigger. I don't know. So we've gone through the 7 days of Sukkot, and the last day is Hoshana Rabbah. What is this Hoshana Rabbah? So, in the Beis HaMikdash, we have mitzvos that are applicable only to the Beis HaMikdash and not outside the Beis HaMikdash. For example, the Torah says, take a lulav and esrog, and the aravas and hadasim, take these four species, and in the temple, take them 7 days, and outside the temple, 1 day. The fact that we do 7 days is a rabbinic institution in commemoration of what was done in the temple. But really only in the temple do you have a mitzvah, or in Jerusalem, the expanded Jerusalem. That's why some people say by the Kotel you have a biblical mitzvah to take lulav and esrog. Because according to the Rambam, that's called Jerusalem. Up until the walls, to where you could see, that's all what's called Jerusalem, and that's all part of the obligation to... All that area has an obligation to take lulav and esrog 7 days. Fine. But we do it rabbinically. There was a halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim, a tradition that we had going back to Moshe, that another procession was done in the Beis HaMikdash. And that was that they would surround the Mizbeach, the central altar, with aravos. Every day in the temple, they would take these long branches of aravos and bring them in and lie them against the Mizbeach. So every day of Sukkot, in the morning, the Kohanim would have a procession bringing in these aravos. As they'd bring them in, they would be blowing with the shofar and the trumpets. And special procession, Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, every day of Sukkot should be done, placing the aravos, leaning them against the Mizbeach. And after they were there, the people would come in and they would be chovet the aravot. What does it mean to be chovet the aravot? So here, there's a machlokes Rambam Rashi. The Rambam says chovet, what does chovet mean? Means to bang, to smack around. That's what they do. They take the aravos and hit them on the ground two or three times. Rashi says, no, chovet is a slang. That's what we do when we shake the lulav around. That's what they do with the arava. Just like we shake the lulav in the temple, the nation would come in and shake the arava just like we shake the lulav. So, one of these two things they would do. And then the aravos were taken and carried around the Mizbeach one time. They surround the Mizbeach and make one rotation around the Mizbeach. And here too, there is a machlokes, whether it was the Kohanim who did this or the Yisraelim who did this. What we do every day, that we take our lulav and esrog, we walk around the bima, that's in commemoration of what was done in the Beis HaMikdash, that they surrounded the Mizbeach. And this is the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva. They asked him, the Reform movement wanted to move the Aron, the Ark. And the Chassam Sofer said, one of his proofs that you can't change from the way we do it, is he said, we find that a lot of the things in the base, in our Beit HaKnesset, our sages did in commemoration, in reenactment of what was in the Beis HaMikdash. And one of them is that the Ark is in the center, and we surround the Ark on Sukkot. That's in commemoration of the Mizbech that was in the center. And therefore, that was one of his proofs that he can't change it. He said, you don't change anything. But he had to bring proofs. So this was his proof regarding the Ark. This was one of his proofs.
Or specifically, Aravot, you bang. Because if you're doing it with a shake, and you shake all four species.
Wait, no. So aside from shaking the four species, which it says in the Torah,
yeah,
this was a halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim. We had a tradition in the Beis HaMikdash. This is what should be done with the Aravot.
Just the Aravot.
Just the Aravot. Aside from the Aravot they had in their lulav, there you have these five little Aravot. Oh, who's, I didn't say five yet. Wait.
Oh.
You said five. Wait. We'll get to that. So each day, every person would come up and take one or two aravot and either shake them or bang them. One or two, says in the Rambam. On the seventh day, they had a tradition that this should be done seven, that they would surround the Mizbeach seven times. And as they'd surround the Mizbeach, they'd say, Ana Hashem Hoshiana. So today, we say different things, what we call Hoshana. We say, Hashem, save us, Hoshana. And then we enumerate different things. Save the nation that does this, the nation that does that, the people that do this, the people that do that. Save us from this, save us from that. Every day we focus on different things. But in the temple, they would say, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, as they'd surround the Mizbeach. Ana Hashem Hoshiana from Tehillim. And on the seventh day, they'd surround the Mizbeach seven times. Go around seven times. And because on the seventh day, that was the special day that was done seven times, our sages instituted after the destruction of the temple that we on the seventh day do a commemoration of what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. Just like they in the Beis HaMikdash surrounded the Mizbeach seven times and then either shook the Arava or banged the Arava, so too every Jew purchases Aravos for tomorrow. And because tomorrow was the special day that they do it seven times, so we too, we say Hoshana seven times as we surround it, and in the end, we either shake or bang, we do both. We shake the Aravos and then we bang them. Most people bang them, they don't know they should also shake them. So really, you should do both. And it's enough, as you go around and we call out Hoshana, Hashem should save us, that we shake them. Now, what's the whole idea? What's special about tomorrow? So, we'll get there in just 1 second. How many do you take? How many Aravos do you take? So really you could take one, You could take two. Ideally, you should take three, because there are opinions that say the minimum is three. Those are the opinions that are shown in the Gemara. Came along the Arizal, and the Arizal said, for Kabbalistic reasons, everyone should take five. But let's say you're out in Uzbekistan, some of our listeners, and you can't get any Aravos. So then you could take the two Aravos out of your Lulav, unbind your Lulav and Aravos and Hadassim, and take those two, which ideally we don't take those two, ideally we purchase new ones for this Mishnah, fresh ones, and they're very cheap here in Israel. But for our listeners out in Uzbekistan, if they can't get kosher Aravos, they barely get two, they could take those two out of the Lulav and use those. But ideally we purchase new Aravos and we hold them separately. We're not holding the Lulav and everything else. We hold the Aravos and we take those Aravos and we surround the Bima seven times, as we said, the Oshanos. That is after Shachrit. Before Musaf, before laning. You do it after Shachrit. And then when you finish that, then you shake them and you bang them on the floor two or three times.
Wait, so
if you what?
So you don't walk around the Bima with the
Lulav. So how do you walk around the Bima? So here we have a different opinion between Rashi and the Rambam. Are you supposed to walk around the Bima with the Lulav? Or are you supposed to walk around with the Lulav and Etrog and everything else? Or are you supposed to walk around the Arava? How did they do it in the Beis HaMikdash? So you'd say do both. Carry the Lulav and Etrog and the Arava. So that's one custom. Some people walk around with both. They hold the Aravos and they hold the Lulav and the other species and they walk around holding both. But there is a minority opinion that says that you're not allowed to hold the Aravos in your hand with the Lulav. Because the Halacha of Moshe Sinai says take Aravos. And the Torah says take Lulav with two Aravos. If you add to those two Aravos, so most opinions say, you don't mean to add. The Torah said take two Aravos. You're taking the other five for the Halacha Moshe Sinai. You're taking them. You're taking them for the other custom of Aravos. So you're okay. But there is an opinion that says, even though you don't mean it, the fact that you're holding the Lulav for the sake of the mitzvah, and you're holding more Aravos, still makes a person in transgression of Baal Tosef, adding to what the Torah says. And therefore, some say the recommended opinion is, don't worry about the person who says Baal Tosef, worry about Rambam and Rashi. So carry the Lulav and the Esrog and everything and the Aravos on the other hand, and then you're okay. But the opinion that seems to have become the accepted opinion, and that's the opinion that's printed in the Machzorim, is that you walk around with the Lulav and Esrog and then you put them down and you walk around only with the Aravos. And the Machzorim say when, according to the Arizal, you should do this switch, meaning that we don't know what we should do, so do what everyone else does, which is put down the Lulav and Esrog and Hadassim and Aravos at a certain point during the Akafos and pick up the Aravos, and then you'll shake the Aravos around. Just don't bang the people in front of you or the people in back of you. Be careful when you're shaking. That's more important than the shaking. Even though the shaking, you'll say, is biblical. So we said that the biblical aspect you're yotze by just picking it up. The shaking is a hider mitzvah. It's a better way of performing the mitzvah. But you're yotze just by holding them, by picking them up the right way. Ideally we shake them the way we should. That's the best way to perform the mitzvah. But to bang someone in the eye, that's awesome. So that you have to be more careful about.
Where does it say
it's asur? The first siman in Choshen Mishpat in the laws of damages says, before we enter the laws of what you pay when you damage, you should know it's forbidden to damage. That's the first siman in the halachas in Choshen Mishpat and Shulchan Aruch about damages. Yes. So we said that we surround with Aravos. Today everyone, the accepted thing is to go like the Arizal. When you buy those packages, you get five Aravos for I don't know how many shekel. And that's what we do. And then we bang them, and according to the Arizal, after you bang them, you should go to a chair or something and get all the leaves off. You want to, you could, but then you should also make sure to clean up the shul after yourself. It's not right to filthy up the shul.
Three shekels,
okay. So what's going on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah? What's going on Sukkot in general? So we know we were all judged on Rosh Hashanah, and the end of that judgment is Yom Kippur.
We need five, right?
The accepted custom today is five, yeah. Everyone does five, so...
What they sell in a bag is five.
Five. They sell five. No one will sell you three.
Rabbi, I know you're about to move on, but quick question, I'm not sure, maybe I misheard, but did you say we follow Rashi or Rambam?
We follow both. So we shake and then we bang.
You shake like Lulav and Etrog.
Right.
And then you bang.
Right, but you'll notice that no one around you does that, but that's what's from Shulchan Aruch.
Rambam's so wrong.
You'll know, yeah, don't be too conspicuous about it, because then they'll tell you, what are you doing? So I'm telling you what you're doing. But if you're too conspicuous, what I do is, like, as I'm davening, I move it around so the people around me don't notice. Because today it's I find that almost no one does this, and I don't know why. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know the source not to do it. I don't see why not to do it. I don't know. These are two opinions. Look, it's rabbinic. It's a minhag today. It's a rabbinic institution of Halacha Moshe Sinai. But it's still, why not perform it the best way? Yeah.
Why do people have adassim like surrounding their?
That the Rambam brings again, going with the opinion. The question was asked: why do we see some people who take a tremendous number of hadassim branches and they surround the lulav with that? They have their three hadassim for the mitzvah, and other than that, they have many, many hadassim. So that seems to be a Yemenite custom, and maybe some Sephardim adopted it based on the Rambam. But the Rambam says that this is an ancient custom, that they would call it that they're beautifying the lulav and the species by having many, many beautiful hadassim around it. And it was considered an ornament for the lulav to have many hadassim around it. But this again is going with the opinion that says that there's no problem Baal Tosef, because you don't mean it for the mitzvah. Torah says Baal Tosef, don't add to my mitzvahs. I said three hadassim, I mean three hadassim, not one more. And the Rambam says, yeah, but we don't mean it for the mitzvah. We mean it just to beautify the species.
You took something else to beautify it, still adding?
Okay, so that goes into that whole discussion. Depends on what you're doing, etc. We take the holder, we all use the holder the whole time. That's not a problem. Okay, so going back to what the whole idea of Sukkot and the species are. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that the world is judged at four intervals. On Rosh Hashanah, everyone gets judged, every human. And on Sukkot, we get judged about the rain, the water. And we know that rain is necessary for everything in this world. Everything lives on water. Humans and everything that grows, all the food that we eat. So Sukkot is the holiday in which we worry about water. We know we're getting judged over water. And the Gemara says God did a special act of kindness for the Jewish people, that every time they're judged over something, He gave them a mitzvah that'll help them in their judgment over that. So on Sukkot we're going to be judged over water. God said, take the species that grow on water, take the lulav, take the esrog, take the arvei nachal, the aravos, which are a thirsty plant. By the way, tomorrow you could take the aravos, stick them in the ground, and they grow. Aravos are, all they need is water and water and water. So if you can water them, they'll grow. And then you'll have an arava tree. If you have anywhere to plant, if any of you, your parents have homes or anything else, you could keep them. You could start planting them by putting them in a cup of water, and then they'll develop roots, and then ultimately you could plant them in the ground.
Some
yeah.
Rooms in the Lachon, they're pretty messy. I'm sure you could plant them there.
Okay. So Arvei Nachal, God says, take aravos, which grow on water and are most commonly found by a nachal, by a stream. God says, take these plants, and you have a special mitzvah by the holiday of Sukkot when I'm going to judge you over water. Pesach, we have the... Okay, we'll leave that for Pesach. So at any rate, we have the mitzvah of taking these species. And aravos, specifically, are the ones that are associated with water. And therefore, with aravos, we have this Halacha Moshe Sinai, the whole procession that was done in the Mikdash, together with the prayer that we'll have good rainwater. On Shmini Atzeres, we're going to start saying Mashiv Ruach Morid HaGeshem. We're going to have the special Tfilas Geshem before Musaf and Shmini Atzeres. We're going to pray for water. And on Musaf of Shmini Atzeres, we start saying Mashiv Ruach Morid HaGeshem. Now, Hoshana Rabbah is the last day of Sukkot, as we mentioned before. Even though Shmini Atzeres is an extension of Sukkot, but we don't sit in the Sukkah. Again, this class is for the people of Israel. People of Chutzaretz can't derive any halachos from here. We're not discussing Chutzaretz now. So the Hoshana Rabbah is the last day. Shalom, shalom. Hoshana Rabbah is the last day of Sukkot. If we're talking about Sukkot, this is post the Shmini Atzeres. This man can't stand. No. What, so we were saying that. Hoshana Rabbah is really the last day of the days of judgment, and our sages teach us that when the Mishnah says that Bechag Nidonim Al HaMayim, that on Sukkot we're going to be judged over the water, how much rain we're going to have, it means throughout Sukkot we're judged. Not that we're judged specifically on a specific day. And being that the world lives on water, that means that the end of our judgment for water, the water that's going to come to the world, is on Hoshana Rabbah. So today, meaning starting tonight, is the end of judgment for how much water the world is going to have. And that means, to an extent, it's also the end of the judgment of what kind of year we're going to have. Because our parnasa is very dependent on water. Today, maybe in this country less so, but in general, in this country specifically, more so. Hasidim say, they stress pitkatava, that there is a special petek, a special note that the malach could still bring in to Hoshana Rabbah. And therefore, the custom has evolved, brought down Shulchan Aruch. That we learn Hoshana Rabbah by night. The Ramah brings an interesting thing. They had a tradition that if a person goes up to the rooftop Hoshana Rabbah by night and gets declothed and looks at his shadow, then his shadow by moonlight will reveal what's going to happen to him and his family. So you have to know what you're looking for in the shadow. So that you have to look at the Sephardi Poskim. I had a Sephardi friend in Yeshiva who told me, I have a lot of Sephardi friends.
First of all, you're tall building if we're standing
naked. So, the Ramah ends with something that he brings a lot in the laws of Kishuf and trying to figure out what's going to be in the future. The Pasuk says, Tamim Tiyayim Hashem Elokecha, be complete with Hashem. Don't try to figure out what's going on in the future. But I have a friend who told me that his grandfather was careful. The Gemara in Pesachim brings this concept of zugos, that if you eat something in pairs, you take two cups of water, you eat two eggs, then the shadim can get you. So his grandfather was careful of that. Today we're not careful of that. Who thinks twice about drinking two cups? We're not careful of that. But his grandfather was careful of that. And Hoshana Rabbah, by night, the Sephardim have a session. They read the whole book of Tehillim, because tonight in the Shpizin is David HaMelech. And that's one of the reasons the custom evolved, by the way, to stay up all night, because David HaMelech, the Gemara records, was up in the middle of the night learning. Chatzot Laila, akum lodot lecha. So his grandfather, when they'd serve two eggs to every person, he'd sit next to him. So his grandfather would cut each egg in half, and then he'd switch the halves with him. So then he'd end up with four halves. And every Hoshana Rabbah, before they'd serve the eggs, his grandfather would leave and disappear for a few minutes. And he knew his grandfather was going up to the rooftop to do this thing that the Ramah brings. And then one year, his grandfather went up to the rooftop and came back down looking very bad. And when he sat down and they served the eggs, he asked him, "You want to split the eggs?" He said, "Don't bother." And that year he died. So this is a story like I heard. I don't go up to the rooftop like the Ramah says. Tamim Tiyayim Hashem, be complete with Hashem. And the Ramah also says,
you know,
that it will...
The shadim got
him. Okay. the Ramah says that it shows what will be for him and his family. Now, if you guys want to know the secret, what's brought in the Sephardi explanations, the Mishnah Berurah, I don't think brings this, but the Sephardi, the Kaf HaChaim, I think brings it. The Sephardim explain what are you looking for. I assume you guys all want to know. So if you look at your body, your shadow from the moon, so if a limb is missing, so that's a sign that someone's going to be missing. Now, does it mean the person himself won't make out the year, or that a relative won't make out the year? I guess it depends on which limb, but I wouldn't know.
I've heard that with all this...
I wouldn't do this, by the way. Like, the Ramah recommends, Tamim Tiyayim Hashem. Better off being complete with Hashem. Yeah.
It's actually a sort to you if I have ways. There are many other ways. Like, for example, you want to see who you will be married to, put a glass underneath your bed, and after 2 weeks you come and you'll see... And there are many others.
I have
that
a shelf.
It's not allowed to.
You'll see, right.
I wouldn't
see
do all these things.
You'll see your to-be wife.
In the glass?
In the glass.
If you guys want, I have a whole shelf in my library, sperm on these things.
But these are not...
I wouldn't do all these things.
I thought there's certain asurim for calling back. I mean, it might
be... It's very complicated to know what's mutana. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, There's a siman in your day on the laws of kishuf, and you see over there that everyone tries to figure out what's muta, what's asur, how do you decide, and it's very hard.
Doesn't seem the best thing to do.
I wouldn't do these things. No, the Rama over there says time and again, tamim tiyam Hashem, better be whole with Hashem. Why try to figure out what's going to be? Leave it to Hashem.
The question of free will then.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You could change. You could do what you want. The Navi came to the prophet Yeshaya came to his cousin, second cousin, Chizkiah the king, and he told him, Tzav leveitecha, do we have extra cups here? Yeah. Someone pour this man a drink. No. The Navi told him, Tzav leveitecha.
I'm also getting thirsty, please.
Go tell your family how to run their lives. Kimetata, you're about to die. Velotichin, you're not going to live. God sent me. You're about to die. It's over. And Chizkio was ill with an illness that no one before Chizkio got cured from. No one in history ever got cured from this illness. So Chizkio hears what his second cousin Yeshaya tells him. And he turns to the wall. Vayesev Chizkio panav el akir. Vayev, he starts crying and praying. So Yeshaya asks him, what you doing? So Chizkiah tells him, I'm davening. So he says, I just told you you're going to die. What are you davening for? So he says, Ben Amotz, son of Amotz, Kalen Vatecha, finish what you have to say, Vatzeh, and get out of here. Kach mekublani mibet avi avad, this is the tradition I have from our forefather, from King David. Afilu cherev chadam unachta tzavo shel adam, even if a sharp knife is lying on one's neck and the executioner is there to push it down, the sword is there by his neck, al yimnatz mamon rachamim, you shouldn't hold him back from asking for mercy. A person should always ask for mercy, and this is a rule in life. Chazal taught us, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah were being led before the king Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said he's going to have his trumpets blowing and everyone should bow to his great idol. All the Jews are gathered there, all his people are gathered there, you have this great Colosseum, everyone's there, and these three people don't bow. And they're called before Nebuchadnezzar, and they know he already forewarned that anyone that won't bow is going to be thrown to the burning furnace. And they walk forward in their royal clothing. Chazal tells, why did they come in their royal clothing? They knew they were being let out to be killed. Why did they do that? Because even when things go down, a person shouldn't come dressed in rags. A person always has to be dressed well. If this is the way you were dressed until today, just because you think you're about to file bankruptcy, you're about to lose in court, everything's about to turn bad, you'll be dressed well. That's how you were until today. If you'll lose, you'll lose. But you walk into court dressed well. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah knew, they were foretold, they're going to be thrown into that burning furnace for not having bowed down. And they were willing to be thrown into the furnace. Nonetheless, they walked in with their royal clothes. That's the position they held till today, that's the way they walk in. So, I wouldn't worry about these things. I wouldn't go looking at the shadow, and if one went looking and he saw not good things, so it should spur a person on to tshuva. Why do we call this day Hoshana Rabbah? So the simple understanding is because every day we say Hoshana, Hashem save us, and today we're going to say seven series of this, so this is the great day of saying Hoshana, right? That's the simple understanding. You're saying a lot of Hoshanas. Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana is, we say, save us, Hashem. We say, Hoshana l'mancha Elokeinu, for your sake, Hashem. Hoshana l'mancha Boreinu, for your sake, our Creator, etc. We say every day a series, and today we're going to say seven series. But the Bnei Yisachar says, he says there's another reason. We mentioned that we have 40 days of preparation corresponding to the 40 days of the city of Ninveh, right? City of Ninveh had 40 days to do tshuva, and we have 40 days from the beginning of the month of Elul to Yom Kippur. We discussed that in the book of Yonah. And Hoshana Rabbah is Hoshana, Hashem save us, at 51. This is the 51st day from Rosh Chodesh Elul. We have 51 days to do the math. We have Rosh Chodesh Elul plus 30, plus 15 to Sukkos, plus 6 days of Sukkos, you get 51. This is Hosha save na, now on the 51st day. We're at the end. We've hit the finish line. This is the end of judgment. This is the end of the judgment for our lives, for our livelihoods, for our parnasa, for the rain. And now we're saying Hashem save us on this day. So it's Hosha Na Rabbah. It's the great day of asking Hashem to save us. And we want to go in with strength. So tonight we stay up and we learn. So that's the different understandings as to why we're up tonight learning. Either the Ushpizn of David, either the schut, the merit, and we should all enter and leave the din with good tidings for the world at large, as we discussed on Rosh Hashanah. the world gets judged. Okay, now we're going to go over to the parsha.
Why we put water in the mizbeach?
What about that?
Is that why?
Nisuch HaMayim, again, right. That's also part of the things that Hashem gave us a mitzvah, as we discussed before. Each time we're judged, we have mitzvahs that pertain to what we're being judged on. So on Sukkot, we also have Nisuch HaMayim, the pouring of the water. Right.
Can you explain, what is then, when we say that the gates are sealed on Yom Kippur, and that's it? And that's now it. We're saying about Hoshana Rabbah.
So Yom Kippur is sealed. So on the simple level, Yom Kippur is sealed for mankind, and then the amount of rain that's going to come is a different judgment, Parnasa.
Okay.
That's one level. Those that say that there's a concept of Pitka, they say that even though your fate was sealed, there is some level where you could stick in a good note. Like a judge comes to judge, he writes up the decree, and when he closes the book, you're not going to get anything in.
So before the book is closed.
The book, to an extent, it's sealed on Yom Kippur, and you could still get in a note. That's what they say. Still get in like a pit katava, a good note. He puts like a footnote until now, till Hoshana Rabbah.
The opposite happens if you do something wrong.
I don't know.
It's not as if.
I don't know.